And we're going through the book of Proverbs on Sunday nights. We're in Proverbs chapter 30 tonight. Proverbs chapter 30 tonight, and I want you to stand. We're going to honor the reading of God's word, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 11 tonight. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Brother Russell, would you pray for God's message tonight?
Lord Jesus Christ, I just pray that you give Brother Dennis the word to say, dear Lord. I pray that you
help me, please,
Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And however you want us to act and however you want us to be, I pray that you just give us the courage and the passion to do that.
Yes.
Help us in love. Jesus Christ, in my prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Tonight you may be seated. All right, I want you to pay attention and I want you to notice the verses that we just read. And I believe these verses speak of a very specific generation. Verse number 11, it says, there is a generation. Verse 12, there is a generation. Verse 13, there is a generation. Verse 14, there is a generation. Now, these verses could be applied to past generations and things that have went on at different times in history and different people. But when you look at these things doctrinally speaking, I believe it's speaking of the last generation, a specific generation, maybe the last generation on the earth at the time of the rapture, maybe into the tribulation before the second advent. And of course, when we say generation, we talk about a 20 or 25 year time span. The last 20 or 25 years of life here on this earth before the millennial reign. And that would, of course, with the 7 year tribulation period that would start, right now as up into the tribulation period. Before we are raptured out, after we are raptured out. And I sure hope that it's not that many more years before the Lord Jesus Christ comes and gets us. I'm talking to some people, they believe it can't be more than 2 or 3 years. I hope they're right. But I do believe that we are in this generation, that this, if you were going to say there's a specific generation doctrinally this is talking to, I believe we very well could be in this generation. And one thing we know for sure, that the closer you get to the end of the time and to this generation, the more prevalent these things that it's talking about here are going to be. Now, what this is an indication of the predominance of wickedness that's going to run rampant on the earth in the last days before Christ returns. And we're going to look at some of these and be warned. That's why we're preaching this tonight. We're being warned about this particular generation that it's talking about. And we're being warned, first of all, so we'll know what to expect. Things aren't getting better and better. Things are getting worse and worse. There's not going to be any world revival. There's not going to be any national revival, okay? Our church can have revival. You can have revival. Your family can have revival. But this praying for, you know, that the old world is going to come back to God and this nation is going to come back to God, that's not going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and head farther and farther out of control and into apostasy and into wickedness. And we need to be warned about that so we'll know what to expect. And number two, that we can guard against it. We need to guard our families against this overwhelming wickedness and this the wicked philosophies that's coming in our lives now via TV and internet and radio and all the other media outlets. We need to guard against this for our children's sake, for our marriage, for our families, for our church, for our communities. And I just want us to look at, now what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at about four things that seem to be characteristic of the last generation, the last days here on earth. And I think everybody in this church, if you've not had your head stuck in the sand for the last 5 or 10 years, you're going to say, yes, sir, that's exactly what's going on right now. That's exactly what's happening in our society now. It's happening in a way that I never believed it would happen, that didn't even happen 30 and 40 years ago. It's here now. And we've got to be aware of it. We've got to guard against it. We've got to teach against it. And we can't let that come in our family, in our church, and in our lives. So let's just go into these tonight and look at this generation and get some help from this tonight. Number one, there is a generation that mistreats their father and mother. Verse number 11, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And listen, if there's ever been a generation of that, that is right now. I've never thought that I would see the day where people talk to their moms and their dads and treat them like they do and disrespect them like they do. I'm telling you, even back when I was a child, if I would have said to my daddy some of the things you said to your daddy, he would have knocked my teeth out. And he would have done it right there in front of the social worker from DHR. He wouldn't have given a rip. He wouldn't put up with it. And I'm telling you, we live in a sorry time, folks, when mothers and fathers are mistreated and disrespected and done the way that they're done in our society today. But I'm just going to tell you the problem. Now, you want to listen. It's a lot of it is the father's and the mother's fault. They're to blame for it. They're to blame because they've been too lenient. They haven't rose up and stopped that stuff. They haven't stifled out that rebellion when it comes. They've listened to too much Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey and that bunch. They've got their morals of how to raise their children from Dr. Oz and Phil Donahue I don't even know if he's on there no more, but old Montel Williams and her witch, that Sylvia, or whoever he has on there reading your palms and all that business. That's where people get their enlightenment on how to raise children. And that's what's wrong. And you're letting your children watch TV and movies and get engaged in stuff and listen to music that's sending the message to them, disrespect your parents. Don't do what they tell you to do. Rebel against them. You don't have to honor your father and mother. That's not what the Bible says. Exodus 20:12, it's the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. It's a New Testament teaching too. Ephesians 6:12, children, obey your parents. It is a command for you to obey your parents. And by the way, that is one command given that has some promise to it. That if you obey your parents, you will actually have your lifespan extended. In other words, you can actually shorten your lifespan by how you treat your parents. Listen, if you run your mouth at your parents, you slay up. You can shorten it if some of these parents get a hold of you. What was that Bill Cosby told his son? He said on the Cosby Show. He said, Theo, yeah, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Well, we're talking about God taking you out is what we're talking about. Listen, you curse your mom and daddy, and you raise hell against your mom and daddy, and somebody, listen, I hear folks getting a ball bat after their daddy and do stuff like that. You know what you're doing? You are shortening your life. God's going to kill you earlier than he would have all in the beginning. That's right. I know some of you don't like that. You go on and help yourself. And when you die early and everybody's wondering what happened to you, I know what happened to you. God took you out of here because of the way you treated your mom and daddy. Amen. Amen. But I want you to understand something about it. It is, why is this sin such a prevalent sin in the last days? Well, if you look at your Bible, you will see that this is a punishment. God allows this as a punishment to a nation that's rebellious against Him. This nation has been rebellious against God. And when the nation of Israel was rebellious against God, it was the same indictment against them. Hold your place right here and turn to Isaiah chapter 3. Turn to Isaiah chapter 3. And I want you to read something here. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse number 4, where we're going to start. And when God is pronouncing the sin of the leaders in Israel and the people that have done wrong, and He's talking about the consequences of them rebelling against Him and what's going to happen, notice what He says there in verse number 4. Verse number 4, part of the judgment. Isaiah 3:4, and I will give children to be their princes, and what does it say? Babes shall rule over them. And then again, you're going down there to verse number 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Now, you know what that means? That means in a regular society, when God's blessing it and it's not under judgment, that the men rule the society, the men rule the homes, and the children are in subjection. And now in our society, the children are the oppressors, and the women run the home, and that's what's the problem. Amen. I know some of you don't like it, but it's just Bible. And that's what the problem is here. It's a sign of God's judgment on the nation when the children are out of control. And when the children become the oppressors and the women become the leaders, when the men are supposed to... Listen, I see that all the time. I hear these folks say, I just don't know what to do with my little boy. I don't know what to do. They command their mom and daddy around. But I don't know. I can tell you what to do with them. Ask Zechariah what you do with a situation like that. He knows. He can tell you from personal experience. You got this 3 or 4 year old little kid that you can just dump over and you don't know what to do with them. They're leading you around in a grocery store telling you what to do, fussing and complaining and dropping off. Oh, they're holding their breath. Well, he'll pass out and he'll get his breath back. Don't worry about it. That's what the problem, see. The children are running the parents. And you know why it is? Because there's a curse on this nation for turning against God. And when a nation turns against God, part of the curse, part of the punishment is the children mistreat the parents. They oppress the parents. And you don't even know who's in charge in the family. And I'm going to say two things here before I get ready to move on. Men, don't be a stinking yellow-bellied coward. You are the husband, you are the leader of your family, and you have every right to be a leader. And you stand up and you take him. And you women, if you've got a good man that loves the Lord, you keep your mouth shut and you submit to him. I told you, you think this morning was bad, it's going to get rough. By the way, I didn't make those rules up, God did. You say, well, you don't know who I married. I married an idiot. You want me to submit to him? Well, what does that say about you? You married him. You can't submit to him. You shouldn't have married him. I'm telling you, when you're running it instead of him, when the children's running it instead of you, that's God's judgment on your family. So you need to get it right. I'm going to say this right here. I'm going to go on and just make everybody mad tonight. I don't give a rip how many Bible studies you are and how much you read your Bible and how much you pray. And all. If you're not honoring your husband and reverencing him and doing what he tells you to do, unless he tells you to do something against this Bible, you're not spiritual. I get sick and tired of women coming to church, oh, Brother Dennis, how are you, Brother Dennis? Speaking of Brother Dennis and him being so respectful of me, and get out in the car and talk to your husband like he's a dog. If there's one man in your life you ought to respect more than the preacher, it's your husband, lady. And if you don't like that, that's because you are backslidden as hell in your heart, woman. Now we got everybody's attention. I can go on and preach. And when you go over there and look, by the way, over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it starts telling you about the how it's going to be in the last days, and the last days perilous time shall come. It tells you disobedient to parents. It tells you right there in that passage that one of the characteristics of the last days is that children are not going to obey their parents. And you know why? First of all, it's going to be because the parents haven't done their job. And second of all, it's just the sign of the times. God's punishing a rebellious nation. God's punishing a rebellious world. And when he does that by allowing the children to run the thing instead of the parents. Number two, there's a generation that is filthy, but they think they're clean. Verse number 12. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. See, they think they're all right. And yet, it's not washed from their filthiness. Boy, that's real prevalent today. You've never seen so many self-righteous causes and people today that think now, just in the last 15 to 20 years, because they have stepped up and stepped out of the closet, so to speak, and went in mainstream media and took a stand on their things, that they are righteous and good and finally are resisting the oppression of us Christian people. And they think that they're righteous. They think they're good. They don't even have any idea how ungodly and unclean. And if you've never been saved, they're just as nasty and dirty spiritually as they can be. The sodomite. Boy, he's coming out of the closet so proudly now. And he's marching and telling everybody, you know, and putting up a stir and fussing. Because the man that owns Chick-fil-A is the only one that's got any common sense and spirituality to stand up against that crowd. And he's coming out and he thinks, you know what, we have been oppressed and we have been put in the closet for years. But now we're doing the right thing by marching out in public and telling everybody that we are a sex pervert. They listen, you've never seen so much. And I tell you what that crowd does. They make you feel bad because you're not a pervert. They want to turn the tables and make you feel like you're the oddball. I'm not the oddball. You're the Frisco Fairy. You're the Tinkerbell. I'm not the oddball. You are. I tell you, if you're a man and you don't want to kiss a man rather than a woman, you're the oddball. You're the one with the problem. And listen, I'm not going to let you pressure me, and make me feel like, you know, we're being, listen, that's the most judgmental, biased people you've ever met in your life. The people that are straight, you never heard of people marching against gays, against sodomites, against whatever you want to call them, going out there in the street and doing perverted things and saying perverted things and kissing one another and making out one another in demonstrations and saying, I'm going to go to a man's eating joint and make out and make a public scene like that. You don't hear us talk about that. That's that perverted, ungodly crowd that does that. And you and I shouldn't be intimidated by that crowd. The perverts and the abortionists. Oh, it's the day of the woman. We're marching for our rights. We are so righteous and good. We have come out against the oppression. Oh, how many women were hurt and went through so much pain and even lost their lives by years of secretly sneaking around and getting illegal abortions. But now, we've made it perfectly legal where any woman can murder her baby anytime she wants to. And we're so proud of it. We're so righteous. We have defended women. We have brought them where we ought to bring them. They're pure in their own mind. They're pure in their own heart. But they are filthy. God says you're filthy. You are a filthy murderer. That's this generation that's going on right now. Filthy murderer. The Muslims. Oh, praise Allah. I'm so righteous that I killed the infidel. I torture him. I cut off his fingers, cut off his toes, and watch him writhe in pain. And then when I die and murder all these people, I get 20-something virgins. We're the righteous person. Kill the infidel. They don't know how filthy. Listen, you know what? Those stupid people, when they drove those planes into the trade center, they thought they were going to shout, Allah! And they didn't even have enough sense that what was going to happen. They weren't going to get any virgins. We're going to get hellfire. They thought that they, do you understand that they thought they were righteous? They thought they were clean? And they had no idea that as soon as that plane hit that thing and exploded, they went into hell. That is our society today. We have a bunch of people that think they are marching for these righteous causes. They think they're doing right. They think they're righteous. And the Bible says they're still filthy. That's this generation right here. These folks go out here and try to save the whales. Any of you ever seen that stupid show, that Whale Wars, where these ships going around trying to stop people from killing whales? I can't watch it. It makes me too mad. I wish they'd jump on that ship and just whip everybody on those whale ships. And then force them to eat a whale steak. Stupid. The money and the time they're spending around trying to run down people who are killing whales, why don't they do something productive with their life? And try to win somebody to the Lord, but they can't. See, they think they're right with God, but they don't know they're in that same crowd. They're filthy and don't know it. Save the whale. Save the spotted owl. And the same bunch that's out there saving the whale, saving the spotted owl. And they think they're clean. They think they're better than me and you because, you know, they worship a pine tree. And we don't see the value of a pine tree. And they don't kill cockroaches because that could be Uncle Jim down there or something. And they save the whales because it's such a tragedy that somebody's killing whales or somebody's killing the spotted owl or whatever it is their purpose is while they're smoking dope and fornicating. They think they're righteous because of these causes and they're filthy. They're stinking filthy. I'm pregnant. I'm unmarried. I don't know who the father is. But you know what? It's just my choice, and I'm doing good, and I went back to school, and I'm raising my child. I'm happy in it. I'm happy in my sin. Da, 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 da. And you're wrong for judging me. I'm not judging you. God's the one that said all sex out of marriage is wicked. People are proud in their sexual sin nowadays. They just flaunt it and put it in your face and try to fill it up in church. And they come to church and they sit there on the pew like nothing's going on. And they're just so close to God and they just love God so much. I'm going to tell you, God still says that whoremongering bunch is going to be judged. And that's all this AIDS and venereal disease and this herpes and this stuff that Ajax won't take off. And once you get it forever. And people are dying by the millions and going to keep on dying because God said you don't do it unless you're married. Some of you people that's been taught right, I'm going to tell you something. You've been taught right. God's not going to be as merciful on you. I'm going to tell some of you young people something. And I don't want to embarrass my son, but I told him this. And to help you, not just to help my son, but I told him, I said, son, I'm going to tell you something. I said, you've been raised right ever since you was a little boy. And I said, if you go out there and do that, I bet you on the very first time she'll get pregnant. You say, why would you say such a crazy off-the-wall thing? Because he knows better. To whom much is given, much is required. He knows better. And God's not going to have the mercy and the grace on him as he is on some kids that ain't raised right. And everybody just, you know, it's just, nobody's ashamed anymore. Nobody blushes anymore. Nobody's ashamed. Don't you dare say something about my daughter. Let me tell you something. I hope that he don't, but if that happened with him, I never stop loving him. I never stop supporting him. I support his child or whatever. But I would get up in this pulpit remorseful and sad and have to tell the whole church and tell you how disappointed and how upset I am because it is something to be mourned when that happens. It don't matter if it's my youngin' or yours. That's where we are. People think they're clean, but they're filthy. And listen, they hate you and think they're better than you because they supposedly don't judge others. No, they don't judge anything. Just whatever you want to do, they think it's right, but they don't know they're filthy. And again, 2 Timothy 3:3, you know, describes them. They are despisers of those that are good. That's one of the things of the last days. They are without natural affection. Also in that passage. All right, look at the next one. Verse number 13. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up, full of pride. You have never in your life seen a more prideful bunch of people than this generation we have right now. Listen, this generation right now, their philosophy is we know it all. We can do it all. We can fix it all. We can buy it all. And we can sell it all. We don't need anything. And you know what? It's so sad that in Laodicea, and that's the time period I believe we're in, that's what the church said. Not just the lost people, not just the worldly people. The church said that. They said, I have need of nothing. These churches around here said, we got plenty of money. We got the nice chandeliers. We got the nice carpet. We got people driving up in the parking lot with their big fancy cars. Hey, we got everything. No, you don't. You don't have the Holy Ghost. No, they can write. I don't care how big your building is, how much money's in it, how many people comes every Sunday. Years ago, the Holy Spirit wrote Ichabod over that place. And they don't even realize it. Don't even think about it. This is the most prideful, arrogant, self-sufficient bunch you have ever seen. And I tell you what this generation don't think about either. Some of you folks, I want you to understand something. I'll tell you what this generation don't think about. They don't ever think about who gave them that intellect. They don't ever think about who gave them those abilities. They don't ever think about who gave them that money. They don't ever think about who gave you that job. You don't ever think about who gave you that physical strength. Don't ever think about who gave you that spiritual strength that you have. God gave that to you. But to the average person, I'm a self-made man. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I'm doing. We can do it. This is the age of technology. Yeah. You know what the age of technology's done? It's devised more ways to pump hell into your mind and your heart than there ever was before. That's exactly what it's done. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2, when it's describing people in the last days, it says they are boasters. It says they are proud. And I just want you to know that God hates pride. God said that. Did you ever read over there in Proverbs 6 where it talks about the things that God hates? Do you know what the very first one on God's list when he's talking about these seven things he hates that are an abomination to him? A proud look. And you've never seen such a proud generation in your life. And you know why they're so proud? Because everybody's got everything. You talk to some of these folks in here that's 65 and 70 years old. Listen, there's some people sitting in this church tonight. They remember a time where they couldn't go to the doctor when they got sick. And little babies that got sick, you couldn't run them to the doctor. And they wouldn't know Medicaid card. And they wouldn't know all kids and all that kind of stuff. And they barely had enough to eat. And they had to work and go get what they had to eat. And they couldn't stop by the store every time they went by one and buy Coca-Cola and all like you do. These folks know what it's like that if God didn't deliver them and bring them through it, they wouldn't make it. And anybody in here 40 years old or younger, you don't have any idea what that's like. You don't have no idea, no concept of what that's like. And that's why I used to full of stinking pride. You used to, I can make enough money, I can get it, I can do it, I can see about it if I want it. And you don't even realize that the only reason you're able to do that is God has blessed you to do it. There's nothing good about you. Listen, you ain't half as tough as that older crowd. I don't have as much strength. And my whole body is my granddaddy had in his pinky. We're not tougher than them and smarter than them. We're more stupid. We're a lot weaker than they are. God just blessed us and been good to us. Amen. And how do we repay them? By saying, I don't need a thing. I don't need you in my church. I don't need you in my family. I don't need you in my job. I got it all, man. I got it all. All right, we'll see. We'll see. Generation is full of pride. Full of pride. And then I want to look at one more tonight. There's also a generation that violently oppresses others less fortunate than they are. And you're seeing that. Look there in verse number 14. Proverbs 30 and verse number 14. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Now, I believe this possibly, and I've read where this could really have a tribulation application of cannibalism during the tribulation, where the rich, you know, there's going to be a shortage of food, and only the people that's got the mark can eat. And it actually could be a thing of the rich folks being able to eat the poor folks. Because you look at that thing, in other words, that thing may not just be speaking, metaphorically speaking, it may be actually that they, you know, look how it describes it. Their teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. Not just insinuating they're going to be violent toward them, which I believe that's part of it, and mistreat them, which I believe that's part of it, but actually consume them. Tribulation period is going to be a horrible, wicked time where all kind of wicked, hellish things are going to be going on, and that very well could be part of it. But you look in this generation, you have never seen a generation that talks so much, the government talks so much about taking care of the less fortunate while they're doing everything they can to mistreat the less fortunate. Nobody in this world cares about the less fortunate. The philosophy of this world today is get mine, get what I want, get what I need, pull my shutters down and not worry about the rest of the world. I mentioned this some Wednesday night, but we have a bigger problem in the public school system with bullies than we ever have. That's because of stupid parents that won't do anything about their bully children, and the faculty of these public schools that have their hands tied or have their eyes closed or just don't care, whatever it is, doing something about it. But the kids that get popular in school and the ones that everybody looks up to is the stinking thugs. And that's the generation we live in. Where it's popular to abuse somebody that's less than you. Listen, if God gave you a stronger intellect than other people, it's to help those that have a lesser intellect. If God gave you stronger strength, it's to help those that are weaker than you. If He gave you extra speed, it's to help those that are slow. God didn't give you something and give you an ability, no matter what it is, to persecute and hurt the weak and bully the weak. But that's what goes on in our schools. That's what's going on in society. And I tell you what it is. I tell you what it is. It's just a product of Darwinism that prevails in the public school, and more sinister and more wicked in the colleges is that teaching. You know, only the strong survive. After all, it's all evolution, and we all got here by the strong surviving and one species overcoming another and them dying out. And after all, if that's the way it is, then it's only natural that the strong oppress the weak. But that is not what God says. That is not what the Bible says. The strong are to take care of the weak. But in our society, it's, you know, get whatever you got to get, run over whoever you got to run over to do it, cheat whoever you got to cheat, embezzle whatever you got to embezzle. If you can get away with it, kill them. Just go ahead and achieve and go on. And that's not what the Bible says. But when you believe in Darwinism and you have that in your public schools and you have that in your colleges, that's what you get. It's also related to this moral relativism. Moral relativism says that, hey, if I think it's whatever I think is morally acceptable, is morally acceptable. You know, there's not one strict ethical guide for everybody. I have my set of ethics. You have what you believe. You have what you believe. You have what you believe. Hey, personally, in my opinion, I believe it's okay to kill and eat the less fortunate. You know, if I need something to eat, my moral system says, oh, Jim Bob, my neighbor, I can just go over there and kill him and eat him. Now, I'm being facetious, but that's how the thing goes. The thing goes is there's not one standard by which we live by, It's just whatever you think is right and whatever you think is right, like the kings did back in the Old Testament. They did that which was right in their own eyes. And so when you have that going on in society, that leads to this, hey, just stomp out the weak. Don't care to take care of the weak. Run over whoever you got to run over to achieve. You know what one of the number one shows is on TV? What's that? Oh, Donald Trump, The Apprentice. You know what that show's about? Any of you ever watch it? I know you watch it. Some of you like it. You need to repent. You know what that show's about? That show is about people conniving, throwing folks under the bus, mistreating them, being dishonest, doing stuff behind their back so they can be promoted by Donald Trump and get a position. And people love that show. And the idea of winning that show is throw everybody under the bus you can so you can become the apprentice. That's just what this book's talking about. That's just what this book's talking about. Have a court ruling. You don't like it? Just go across town and riot in the street and steal from innocent people and bust in their places of business, get you a TV, run down the road. Listen, those people over there in Katrina that was left over there in that hurricane, there's folks going in there to save them in their dire situation. You know what they think? They think, you know what? This is my time to shine. I got left in here and the water's flooded the street, so I'm going to bust in and steal everybody's TVs and everybody's stuff. While they're risking their life to come in here and save me, I'm going to be going downtown through New Orleans, stealing what I can. After all, I deserve it. And right now, I got to take care of myself. And I'm strong. I made it through this hurricane, so I'm just going to go down there through there and just get whatever I want. That's the mentality of people in the United States. Now listen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Talks about people that are fierce. Going to be fierce. Wicked, mean, evil people in the last days. And I want to tell you something. Whatever God's blessed you with, whether it's in here, or in your pocketbook, or possessions, or whatever, God did not give you what He gave you to mistreat those less fortunate than you. He gave it to you to be a help to them. And you've never seen a society where it's such a cutthroat society as you see now. Whatever I've got to do and can get away with it to make it. That's what they do. Now that's this generation. That's this generation. Now let me tell you this. I believe we're in the last days. We've got to beware of this stuff. Listen, church, we've got to battle against this stuff. In our own hearts. In our family. In our church. In our marriage. Whatever. That we don't let the philosophies and the ways of this here, right here at the end, mess us up. Because I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling you that the closer you get to the return of Christ, the more of this stuff I just read to you and we just talked about tonight, the more prevalent it's going to become. And if you're not aware of it, if you're not on guard against it, if you're not trying to do something about it, it's going to get you too. Every head bowed and eye closed. I'm asking my wife to come to the piano tonight. The generation that mistreats their father and mother. The generation that's filthy.